Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. We are blessed to have with us this morning and welcome the Teen Challenge Singers. They will be worshiping with us this morning through their music ministry. And Teen Challenge, I might say, is started 46 years ago. And today there are 195 Teen Challenge centers across the nation and 550 centers worldwide proclaiming the gospel. The Youth Bible Study will be held tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Tomlinson's home, beginning to study the various issues surrounding apologetics, which is the defense of the faith. Today is Fellowship Sunday, and everyone's invited for good food and fellowship directly following this service. As is customary on the last Sunday of the month, all other activities normally scheduled for Sunday afternoon are canceled, with the exception, of course, the service at Pacific Hills at 2 o'clock. Please refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled this coming week and next Sunday. Our scripture reading today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is wonderful. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of one hymn this morning, so please stand now as we begin our worship with hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name.
Standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. He is the Supreme. He is everything to us. He is the new wine. He is the renewing of our life and has committed unto us the preaching of the gospel, the good news of God. He's seeking for men and women to come to senses with God. And we thank you, Father, that we open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church this morning. We open the airways of KKNC Radio, AABAM on the dial. We open the airways of internet and television so that people can listen, watch, and later on in the recordings of our church, they can again listen to the wonders of God. We are blessed today with the guests, the Teen Challenge Choir. And we pray, Lord, that people may pay attention, that salvation is not a game, it's a reality. And these people who have come to us, their life are a shining gospel to us. And I love to have them over and over in our church because it reflects upon each one of our lives. We all have been astray, away, And by your mercy and grace, you draw us into your kingdom. And we are grateful. We thank you, Father, for our missionaries away from us who do the ministry of the gospel too. For Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendaño in Guatemala. Marta Poretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, Peru. And Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. Father, we pray for our local missionary, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose. Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministries across America on the races. And Fred and Carol Lewis in the U.S. Center for World Mission. Thank you, Lord, that each one of them represent our church in the sense that we want people to know you, Christ Jesus, our Lord. We pray for those who are sick, Amperetto, with tremendous sickness. Father, you are the healer of our life. And in the same way you heal our spirit, you can cause the healing of our body. We pray for the new couple class coming in on the first Sunday of April. And we pray for the new teaching on April on Revelation on the evening service. As we're going to unfold the future for the people of God, we pray that the people will pay attention to us so that we know how to live in times like this. Now, Father, we are grateful for your provision in our church. Your people love you and they provide every Sunday for the ministry of the gospel here at Bethel. And I'm thankful for each one of them. I'm thankful to you that touch their hearts so that they can have a giving for us. We pray for those who lost their job, that you put your hand upon their life to find a new work. And for those who are seeking work, that you open the avenues of life so that they can be able to work. Lord, we pray with sadness for the families of the four officers in Oakland who gave their life so that we can have peace in the city of Oakland. We do not understand it, but you do. And now they are patrolling in heaven, the streets of heaven. And so, Father, we pray for the wife and for the children that they may receive the comfort from above, because there is no comfort in this earth. We pray for the grandparents and for the families and for the people of Oakland, that this will wake them up and be in collaboration with the police force and the authorities. Bless the authorities, the mayor of the city, and bless our governor. They will offer all the cooperation Oakland needs to be a shining city like it was in 1965 when I came to this country. Can be done if we Christians stand and pray. So, Lord, as we close, bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I guess we as schedule your daughter here, but there were some mistakes. That's okay. We scheduled her to play, but that's what the bulletin said. All right, everything will have a lot more. They're in Maria, but I guess they don't let her know. Well, those things happen, and very intelligent people. All right, only happen to intelligent and bright. All right, this is a feast for our church. As we ask the teen challenge to come forward, please, and take place. And here, these are people who have been changed by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And we are so glad that they are here to bless us with their music, their testimony. And before pastor preach, once a year they come to our church. I want to ask the organization to send it twice a year. Because they are good, they are a revival for each one of us. And they're going to explain to you, perhaps some of them, the testimonies. I hope they have all the equipment they needed. And so my brother Jose, please take over.
Good morning. It's truly our honor to be your guests again. One of the guys who drove up this morning goes, "Hey Joe, you remember that church? They got really good food." So you're well remembered in the hearts of the fellas. And we thank you for your hospitality. It's been a while since I've been here, so forgive me, I don't remember the faces. But for some of you already know the story of Teen Challenges, some of you may not. And those of you do, if you be patient, I'd like to kind of run through it real quick for those who don't. In 1958, the ministry of Teen Challenge began with a call of God on a man's life. It grew into something bigger than he ever imagined, totally different than what he envisioned originally, which is quite often it is with God's call in our lives. That there was our country was gripped with the story of a murder. A group of young men had ganged up on some boys and killed them, and so they were on trial. And one night, David Wilkerson, opened up a Time magazine, and in the middle there was an artist caricature of the court, and those boys were all lined up there, and he looked in their eyes there in the artist rendering, and he could even there see the emptiness and the pain in the eyes of those young men, and he felt the call of God saying, "Go help those boys." So he did. He packed up his car and took off to New York and began to outreach to gangs. And things were very different at that time. People got saved and they prayed for them and turned around. We had rallies all over the place. But Teen Challenge, he realized, "Hey, I need a home, someplace for these guys to go, get them out of the element, away from these people who are using them and the influences here. They need an opportunity to have a good solid foundation under their feet." So he opened up the first home, and it was developed and turned into what it is today, a 12 to 18 month recovery program for those with life controlling issues. There's many things that hold us captive, many things that compulsive behavior just drives us to do. After a series of decisions and a series of issues, we find ourselves the consequence of habits and addictions that we just can't seem to break on our own. Sometimes, quite often, we just feel like all we're really good at doing is screwing things up or messing things up. But only God himself can unlock these chains. And so we learn the process of discipleship, of following God, of choosing his way and his will over my own. Over our own. And so we apply the biblical principles. And number one, pretty early on, some of the most challenging ones are ones of forgiveness. Forgiving those who hurt us. And, sins of neglect as well as, direct perpetrate. There's, something about the Teen Challenge story that I love so much. See, the original boys he was sent to minister to, they were predators. See, most of us, we can see life and see things where we were the ones being the victim, but we quite often forget about the times that we were the aggressor. And when you live the lifestyle that a lot of us have found ourselves in, we were that. And that was the hardest thing to forgive, to accept God's love and grace and mercy in my life, that to forgive myself and move on from that. That he's, now I'm a child of God. See, these are the principles. The bedrocks of Christianity that have to be accepted before somebody can live a life truly free and truly victorious. So today you're going to hear some more stories and testimonies from these guys. And afterward, feel free to come up and talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about it more. But we have a few songs for you, and trust the Lord is going to touch your heart today. Thank you.
You know, a lot of people tried to save me from the path I was heading down, destruction and to death. I had my family, psychiatrist, therapist. There was only one person who could save me, and that was God.
Mountain,
name's Seth. I'm 23 years old. I grew up in the church. Some of my earliest memories are being in church. In fact, the song we sang this morning about being in the Lord's army, I remember hearing that when I was like in third grade, fourth grade, so thanks for bringing that back. Anyway, I grew up in a Christian family. I knew God from the time I was a small child, and as I got older, I graduated high school when I was 16 and started working full time, and the crowd I was hanging around was a lot older and into you know, things that older people do. And when I was 16, I took my first drink and tried marijuana for the first time. And after that, it just progressed over, you know, years in college. And people I was hanging around weren't people that I hung around in high school that were involved in the church. They were people that were doing their own thing and partying every weekend. And for a while, I was able to keep it to just the weekends. And as I got older, it just slowly became more and more a part of my life and an easier way to deal with the pain. Instead of dealing with it, it was a lot easier just to pick up a drink and forget about it. And by the time I was 21, I had gotten 2 DUIs and I had been arrested 5 times. The worst night in my entire life was when I was arrested right in front of my dad. There's no feeling that can describe getting handcuffs put on you with the person you respect more than anyone watching you. Just as time went on, people started seeing that I had a problem, and you know, I started to have to hide my drinking, including you know, from my family and my fiance. By the beginning of last summer, my drinking had gotten so out of control. In a 3-month span, I lost my house, my car, and my fiance 5 days before my wedding. After that, it just spiraled even more out of control. I was drinking every single day, using prescription drugs, and woke up in a hotel room one morning at about 2 o'clock, throwing up blood, just my whole body was swollen. And my family had basically written me off and said, you know, we can't help you until you want to help yourself. And called my mom that night and told her I needed help. She found, her and my dad found Teen Challenge and came to the program. And since coming here, God's just completely transformed me. He's changed me from being a self-centered person that only cares about one thing, myself, into somebody who wants to help others and wants to tell others about him. He's taught me a lot about myself, like surrendering to his will instead of trying to push my own. And that's something I have to do on a daily basis. And I've always had a problem of holding on to the steering wheel with one hand, and I've found that if I just let go and let God take me on a ride, it's going to be the ride of my life. So the verse I stand on is John 16:33. It's, "For I've told you these things so that you may have peace in me. Here on this earth you will encounter many trials and tribulations, but fear not, for I have overcome the world." Thank you.
Hi, my name is Julie, and I am 23 years old. I was 13 when I started drinking and smoking weed, and after that the drugs just started to get more worse. And drugs always gave me this this false sense of confidence, and it helped. More importantly, it helped me to cover up all the hurt I was feeling, helped me not to think about all the things that had happened in my life or all the things that were happening to me at the time. So after my mom died when I was 15, drugs basically became a necessity in my life. So growing up, I was off and on with drugs, and I finally stopped at 18. But at 20, I started drinking really heavily. And it just started off with me just going out with friends, having fun. But to my surprise, alcohol, it surfaced all the things that I had been suppressing my whole life. So for the next 3 years of my life, I just went on this downward spiral. On the surface, everything looked fine. I had a good job, a nice car, I had my own place, I had a boyfriend. But inside, I was just dying. I was just killing myself. I managed to catch 4 DUIs in 4 different counties in 2 years. That's all by the age of 23. I lost everything. I ended up in jail. I thought I was going to prison. But I went to court, and the judge told me that he was going to allow me to do a year of an inpatient program. But at the time, I didn't realize that it was God giving me a second chance or it was God working on me. It wasn't until one day while I was in jail, I went to church. And it's funny because I didn't even know I was going to church. Growing up, I never went to church. I thought I was going to an anger management class, but I walked in. It turned out it to be a church service. And so I decided to sit in. And as I sat there listening to the chaplain speak, this feeling started to come over me. I could literally feel God start to fill me up. And for the first time in my life, I realized just how empty I was and just how broken I was. And in front of all these strangers, I broke down. I started to weep. And after that, I went back to my cell, and I just sat there, and I kept crying and crying. And for the first time in my life, I cried out to God. I asked him to forgive me, and I asked him to save me. And shortly after that, I got accepted into Teen Challenge. And since coming here, I've just been learning a lot about myself. God's really opening up my eyes and teaching me how to turn to him and not to other substances or people or anything, just to keep my focus on him. And he's really shown me that, you know, there's going to be hard times and there's going to be good times, but no matter what, if I just keep my faith and my eyes on him, that he's going to pull me through everything. And since that day in my cell when I cried out to God, I haven't stopped praying, and God hasn't stopped answering my prayers, and for that I'm truly grateful. And one scripture that I always keep in my heart is Psalms 18:16, that says, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me." Thank you.
There are gang lords who think they run the city. Even the governor thinks he runs the city. But only God is the God of the city.
Lost and alone, bound by drug addiction and without hope. But God has delivered me from bondage, and he gave me a new hope. God used Teen Challenge to set me free.
come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done. We believe in you, God.
Well, we know what we aren't, but we know what we are. We are forgiven. We are accepted. We've been made acceptable in the eyes of the Lord, but through the blood of Jesus. Not many of us are great speakers or great singers, but that's not the point at all. Is that it's a, what you're seeing today are the trophies of the mercy and love of Jesus. And so people would ask, I don't have this big spectacular testimony, this big spectacular story of how low I went. Please, you don't have to go to the bottom to understand how great he is. You don't have to bottom out and lose everything to find a place to surrender with him. What we do have in common, however, is that love and that grace and the mercy that we all are saved by the same Lord. Wherever you find yourself today, be inspired by these stories. It's not impossible. There is a process sometimes. It's not overnight, but through the series of bad decisions we made, God is teaching us how to walk and how to live and how to behave properly and how to function in society without falling back to these old habits. If you want to be a part of Teen Challenge, support in any way, your volunteer support is needed. Your financial support is needed and appreciated. Your prayer support, however, is I know that if that part is covered, these other things have a way of working themselves out. Please don't take your prayers for granted. Your relationship with God began with a prayer, and that was a monumental thing. Your relationship with him continues with prayer. So don't take your prayers for granted or think that they're not being heard or worth the time. Also, there's a big golf tournament coming up on the 4th of May. It's going to be great, a lot of fun, and private course over here on Silver Creek Country Club. If you're interested in that, we have some flyers for you. Other than that, thank you so much for having us today, and I hope and pray that you've been blessed. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, sir.
We thank you, Teen Challenge, for being here, for praising and worshiping God in beautiful song. And we just also thank you for the testimonies we heard today of professing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. Thank you. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Luke. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1134. We will be reading Luke chapter 17, verses 30 through 37. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verses 30 through 37. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you have not left us ignorant, but have graciously left us your eternal word written in the scriptures.
Amen.
We thank you that in the scriptures you have revealed yourself to us, and that through faith in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need not be unprepared in that day of judgment. Grant that our attention would not be unduly absorbed with the cares of this life, but that we would press on to the goal of your upward call in Christ Jesus. Bless now our teacher and pastor, your servant Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the message that you would have us hear from the scriptures. Bless us here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD with understanding, that we may conduct our lives in accordance with your word. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?